Welcome to the Word and Spirit Podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Before we join Reverend Greer, let me tell you about our website. RandallGreer.org is filled with information that is sure to be a blessing to you, including free downloads of MP3s, videos, Bible studies, newsletters, and other materials. That address again is www.randallgreer.org. Greer is spelled G-R-I-E-R. Now, let's go to Reverend Greer.
Brothers did to an extent, but they didn't understand. But I told Mother, I said, Mother, I said, the Lord showed me that Daddy is going to be with Jesus. And I said, I'm about to go in the room in there, and I'm going to talk to him. And I said, I'm going to release him, and I'm going to let him go. And she started crying. No, don't let him go. Don't let him go. I said, well, Mother, I said, it's the best thing. I said, there's such a thing as the jaws of death and the gates of death. Now, what I was doing in this situation is I was patterning myself after the ways of God. Now, my natural flesh and my natural solical realm didn't want to let my daddy go. And then when I saw my mother, then I didn't want to let him go either for my mother's sake. You know, because he was a tower of support for my mother. But I also knew that everything would work out fine, that God would take care of my mother, and everything would be fine. Us older boys could take care of her. Daddy didn't have debts or nothing. She was going to be blessed. And when a thing come, I mean, Daddy didn't have much, but, you know, where she wouldn't be left with nothing, you know, and have things. And so I walked in the hospital room. My mother said, I'll go in there with you. She said, but I ain't going to let him go. And I said, okay. I said, you don't have to. I said, but I'm just going to go let him go. And, of course, he was unconscious then. In fact, the doctor said that, you know, he wouldn't live through the night. But I just sensed in my spirit it would not be right away because my daddy was a fighter. You know what I mean? When he made up his mind to do something, get up. I seen him move a house by himself with people laughing at him and telling him he couldn't do it. I seen him take 32 trusses, 32 of them, that was 40 foot long, put them on top of a Chevy Love pickup truck. You know how big that is? By himself, with a ladder rack, with people laughing on him, laughing at him and telling him it could not be done, and hauling him down the road to the job. My daddy's hard-headed. When he made up his mind to do something, he done it. You know what I mean? And that could be good and bad. So I went in there, and of course, I was crying. You know, I didn't want to let him go from the natural side. But I knew it was God's pattern, it was God's plan, and if I was going to pattern myself after what God wanted me to do, then I must yield myself to God. So pattern yourself after God. In one sense of speaking, number one under that, or A under that, is learning to be led of the Holy Ghost. Don't make decisions based on natural choices. Because if you get to making decisions based on natural choices, then you're going to come out on the wrong side every time. Because sometimes the way God leads you in life is not the natural way that you would choose to go. And not every place that God would lead you in that you can always see the end of your journey. And I know it's human nature and it's fleshly nature and it's the solical realm that we want to know everything before it's happened, especially if you're the personality type that wants to plan everything out in advance. In fact, Miss Lynette Hagen, you know, she said this, she's a planner. We need planners because they keep us straight, you know. I can tell you where I want to go, but somebody else has got to kind of put the steps in it, you know. How are we going to get there? And that's fine. You know, it's like me. I say, let's go get the devil. And my wife says, wait a minute, where's he at first? I just thought we'll just find him somewhere. You know, we'll just keep running around till we run into him. And so we need those personality types, you know, and people that will help us to make plans. But at the same time, you can't get so plan-oriented with your goals and your ideas that you lose focus that the Spirit of God can lead you in a direction that may not be naturally the way you would choose to go. So in this situation with my daddy, I'm still talking about patterning yourself after God, learning to be led of the Holy Ghost. Let Him lead you. I sensed that that was God speaking to me there. I sensed that if He wasn't speaking to anybody else in the building, He was speaking to me. So I released my daddy with tears running down my cheeks, and I said, Daddy, it's okay. You can go. The Lord had shown me He had lived His life out. He had been a minister of the gospel, and that He had done what God said do. And there was a reason that He went home early. I said, there was a reason. I said, there was a reason. Do you want to know the reason? You do? Well, not only did He want to go, but at the same time, He kind of got out of the will of God at the last part of His life because God had called Him to preach the gospel, and He had kind of laid it to the side, And it wasn't God. God didn't hurt my daddy. You know, and God don't hurt people. But what happened is the devil laid a trap for my daddy, and my daddy walked in that trap. Now, I'm not knocking my daddy because I've walked in some devil traps myself. Don't get me wrong. But I'm making wrong decisions and wrong choices, so I don't condemn. But I knew under the circumstances, the Lord saw it all. I didn't see the whole picture. And sometimes in our own human thinking, we can't see the whole picture, but God can. And so if you'll just learn to trust Him, being led of the Spirit sometimes is an area of trust. So you don't know, it just don't look right. In the natural, it might not even feel right. And your mind is questioning, but if you'll just take that step and just trust God to look at the big picture, He can see everything. And He knows what's best. So I let him go. And my daddy went home. He made the decision. He'd come through all the surgeries just like I thought he would because he was a fighter. Come out the other side. And then they had moved him from Emory University Hospital in Atlanta back to Columbus, Georgia, which was our hometown. And they put him in what they call rehab. In rehab because he had to get his motor skills back. You know, because you break your back and you have all them surgeries, learn to talk. And he just wasn't one. He didn't want to cooperate. We would go over there and try to get daddy. And walking down the hall, he wouldn't even participate. I'd just carry him. Daddy was a little man, and they remember my daddy over here. But Lisa and Mike do. They'd met him, I believe. Yeah, y'all met him. And I'd just grab daddy. I was big. You know, my granddaddy was 6'8", 6'9". You know, and daddy, he's a little short fella. And so us boys, you would just grow up and grab him and say, "Daddy, walk." He wouldn't walk, so we'd drag him. You know what I mean? Because we wanted daddy to walk. Because he'd always, you know, anything, and long as daddy was alive, any boy, any child, I'll guarantee you, we didn't care whether that we'd run at him full speed because we knew if our daddy was behind us, brother, we ain't going to be in no trouble. Daddy'll be right. It didn't matter where I was at, and I can even tell this story because they can't arrest him now. When I got on escape from prison, they can't arrest him. They won't dig him up and put him in jail, will they? He's over at Park Hill Cemetery in Columbus, Georgia. His physical remains are, whatever that's there, you know. But my daddy, I called him. I remember when I escaped from prison. I called on the phone because I had nowhere else to go. And of course, I was messed up and goofed up, but daddy and mom was praying for me. And I said, "Daddy." He said, "What is it, son?" I said, "I need some help." I said, "I broke my foot escaping." I said, I don't know if I've been shot or what. I can't tell. I said, "Because bullets were flying." I said, "I need some help." He said, "Don't tell me no more." He said, "I'll tell you exactly how it happened." He said, "I woke up with a vision. I told Francis, that's my mama." He said, "I told Francis," he said, "that boy had come out of prison." And he said, "in the wee hours of the morning." And he said, "he's going to call me." And he said, "we're going to go get him." And daddy came, got me. And he came, got me not more than once. He came, a lot, you know, he called. He had this weird idea about prison. Daddy said it was the devil's den. You know, that's what he said. But anyway, he saw me leaping out of this second story. Many of you know the story. If you don't, it's back there on DVD and tape, book, whatever. There's something back there that tells the whole story. But my daddy saw that, and he saw me getting hurt, and he saw that him and my mother would have to come get me, which was in another state from where they were at, and they did come get me. He showed up there. But my daddy was one to follow God, but he told mother, the one night when she was leaving the rehab center, because they wouldn't let her stay around the clock. They let her stay in a hospital around the clock, but in rehab, they wouldn't. She had to go home at a certain time because they worked with different patients at different hours and things like that. But anyway, he told mother, he said, "I saw my daddy," which I call him Papa Greer. He went to be with Jesus when I was about 10. And then he said, "I saw Mama Mert." That's my mother's mother. And I released her years earlier before I did my daddy. I went and sat down and talked to her. We called her Mama Mert. She's about 4'11", but she could beat the devil out of you with a frying pan. I guarantee you. She was just out of the old school. You know what I mean? Of course, she never did whoop us enough. I'll tell you the truth about it. But she had threatened us and everything. She actually was too good to us, to be honest with you. Bless. But I let my grandmama go, too, because I saw it in the spirit. I saw it 2 years before she was going to go. She's going to go. I just saw that. And I went and sat down and talked to her. I said, "Mama, what do you want to do?" That's what we called her, Mama. I said, "Mom, what do you want to do?" She started crying. She said, "Well, everybody wants me to stay." She said, "But I want to go." And my mother was sitting there, and she started crying. "Mama, we don't want you to go." And I said, "Mother," I said, "I know you're emotionally attached to your mother here." And I said, "I am too." And I said, "She half raised me," and she did. Now, when mother got after me, I'd run mama, you know, grandmama, you know. And I said, "But we're going to let her go." And, of course, she did go. My daddy saw her. He saw into the spirit realm. And he said, they are going to meet me in the morning. And he said, I'm going home. And mother thought that maybe my daddy was just incoherent. But about 2 o'clock in the morning, according to the testimony of the nurses, because I was there. In fact, I was going to be leaving that next morning. That was on a Friday night. And the next morning, I was going to be leaving to go up to Concord, North Carolina, and start a meeting for Pastor Jim Howard. I think you're familiar with him too. Pastor Jim Howard. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a call. It was my mother saying, your daddy's passed away. Oh, she's just squalling, you know. And so I said, all right, everything's going to be fine. So I jumped up, went down there, and the nurses met me. She knew that I was a preacher, and they called me to the side. She said, I want to tell you something that's going to help you. I said, well, tell me. She said, she said, your daddy was a Christian man. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, this is how your daddy went to heaven. She said, about 2 o'clock this morning, said he sat up in the bed. Now, he hadn't been able to really set up a lot by himself without help, you know, because you had to teach him how to do all that. So he just sat up in bed, just like he was normal, in the bed, in this rehab center. And he started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. He'd say, he never could sing. He couldn't carry a tune and number 3 washed up. But he just loved to try. You know what I mean? He was always a singing. He couldn't play the guitar. And I'd come up behind him and I learned how to do it. And I'd play for Daddy while he tried to sing. And I remember when he used to preach in the tents. We used to have those record players. Now we got the CDs. We used to have them record players with them, you know, long play. What was that, 38? You put it on 38 and 45. Do y'all remember that? Yeah, I know you do. 78 and 30 what? 33. And then they had some 45s after a while, didn't they? But anyway, I'd go with Daddy when I was a kid, and I'd put the record on, you know, and it would get scratched, ding, you know, and get stuck, and I'd have to go over there and whop, you know, and get it loose. And while Daddy was trying to lead the singing in the tent, and just God would show up, and he'd just fall out in the spirit, and the glory of God would come all over him, and he'd have visitations from heaven, had a 6th grade education. But he sat up in that bed. He started singing Amazing Grace. Then he said he would stop, and he'd start singing that chorus, Hallelujah. And the nurses said it got so happy. He said it was just like beaming with joy. He said, we left all the nurses on the rotation and heard him singing. And went down there and said, Mr. Greer, said, why are you so happy? He said, just sing with me. He said, I'm going home. They thought he meant that he thought he was going home and he was incoherent like my mother. But he'd been told my mother the night before that Grandpa, or Papa Greer we called him, and Mama Mert, which is we call my grandmother Mama, was coming back to meet him. And, of course, he was going home. And he just sang. They said he sang that way. We sang with him for about an hour. She said, the glory of God. We're talking about the glory. She said, the glory of God filled the room. You know, you can sing the glory.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. I just want to take a moment to tell you about 2 of Reverend Greer's products available on our website. First is his personal testimony, Escape from Hell, which details the events that led up to him miraculously being released from prison, receiving a full pardon with the right to own a firearm, and stepping into his calling of God. This is available as a book, CD, or DVD format. Second is Reverend Greer's second book, How to Change Your Life. This book will show you how to bring permanent change in your life through the power of God. And once you've changed, change will bring success. These products, as well as many more, can be found on our online store at www.randallgreer.org. Or by writing us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 140516, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma 74014. Thanks for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us here next time as Reverend Greer brings forth the Word of God in Word and Spirit. And remember, God is with us.